Passionate, driven, enthusiastic, euphoric. This is who we are as entrepreneurs. But how we leverage these incredible attributes to dream and build businesses that scale and grow is what this podcast is all about. Hello, I'm attorneypreneur Josh Brown, and welcome to Franchise Euphoria. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. Today, I'm thrilled to have Ty Crandall on the show. Ty is an internationally known speaker, author, and business credit expert. With over 16 years of financial experience, Ty is recognized as an authority in business credit building and is the author of two books on credit named Perfect Credit and Business Credit Decoded, and has been featured by Entrepreneur, Inc. Magazine, and Forbes. Ty currently serves as a CEO at Credit, where he has helped create and grow one of the biggest and most credible business coaching operations in the United States. Hello, Ty, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Thanks for that very generous introduction.
Well, hey, man, you're an enthusiastic guy. You're doing all sorts of interesting, cool stuff. And as you and I were talking about offline here, this is a rare interview because I really don't know that much about you. So I'm just sort of amped up to kind of learn about you and see where your expertise in the credit space could be of significant value to all the folks who are in and around the franchise space who are tuning in.
That's great. Well, probably the least you know about me, the better.
Well, I've heard good things, so your reputation precedes you. So
that's perfect. Good. Then you haven't got to the bad stuff, so we'll leave it there.
So tell me about business credit, how you got into this, and a little bit of your background so we can kind of figure out what we think about you.
Sure, that sounds fair. Well, I'm a military guy. I was in the Air Force. I got out of high school, went right into the Air Force because I knew I would party my way right out of college. I really didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. And I loved the military. It was great. When I got out, and I did get out because I wasn't necessarily keen of the management structure. I kind of realized that I was a natural entrepreneur and I had to be the guy in charge. And apparently that's not how the military works. Like, you can't just decide you're the guy that should be in charge. So I wanted to skip about 100 steps that they had in my way. So I decided to get out, and I actually got into business shortly thereafter. And I've been in financial services about 16 years. And what got me into where I am now with business credit financing is the first business I ever opened was a mortgage company. And I remember how I thought running a business was so easy at the time because it was like at the height of the market where you could just – there was no way you could mess it up if you were a mortgage broker or a real estate agent. And the whole thing collapsed around me, and I had guaranteed everything personally for the business, not knowing there was another option. And it went bad quickly. I lost everything on the personal side and on the business side, learned a ton of lessons that will help me grow into a hopefully very successful entrepreneur. And I continued on. I ended up opening a consumer credit company, and along the way, and helping people fix their credit from all the damage of the change in the economy, somebody actually asked me about business credit. And it was kind of shocking to me because I'd been in financial service about 12 years, knew nothing about it. And when I dove in and realized that this existed, that a company could build its own credit profile and score, and that, when doing so, the business owner completely separates their liability, and that it works for a startup and all these different things, I was just astonished that this existed and that I'd never known about it and that nobody was talking about it. And then at the same time, it really hurt me to realize that if I would have known, I would have saved myself all this grief and my family. So I kind of decided in that moment that this was my passion, and to be the advocate that kind of educated the general population about business credit, what it is, and how awesome it really is.
All right. Well, that's pretty interesting. I mean, as we all know, any of us who are small business owners, entrepreneurs, we all know that banks are there when you need them the least, and so it's always hard to get money when you're starting out because you have no credit as a business, and so of course it then falls to you on the personal side. So tell me, as a business, when you're just getting started, or in the franchise space, as an example, if you're out there, turning your business into a franchise, so you're looking to grow and expand, or if you've just bought a franchise and now you're just brand new in the business space, how can you go about developing your business credit?
Well, I think that what you just described is part of the problem in itself, is that we are conditioned as a society that if we need money, we go to our bank. And it's interesting because when I stand in front of large audiences on stage, I say, where would you go if you need money? And everybody says, my bank, unanimously. But, you know, the reality is the banks deal with very conservative risk. They have to. They're federally insured. You've got, you know, things like the Dodd-Frank that's come in to fruition recently. And banks are just required to be ultra conservative. And we all know the business lending space is very risky. I mean, the majority of businesses fail. We hear that time and time again. They usually fail due to lack of access to capital. So what happens is banks don't really want to deal with a lot of small business loans. And I think, you know, it was the Department of Revenue a couple years ago that had a statistic that was like 98% of lending that now takes place in the business space is from alternative lenders. So it's interesting because everybody tries to go to their bank to get money when really less than about 2% of all business financing is even coming from the banks. And that fundamentally is the problem that I see, is that a lot of people are going to the wrong place. They don't know where to go to get money. It's not that money exists. So I apologize. I know that's way off the question. Don't even jump into the question at hand. But I wanted to talk about that first, because I think first you have to understand what the problem is on why you think you can't get money or failing to do so before then you can talk about the solution. That being said, business credit's phenomenal because, you know, even as a brand new franchisee, or if you've already been in business, you're taking your business to the next level and creating a franchise, you know, it's tough to get money, especially in the early stages. That's when banks don't want to lend. They require 2-3 years tax returns and these type of things specifically so you won't apply, especially when you're in your newer stages. But what your audience should know is that anybody can get business credit, even as a startup. Just like when you turn 18 and you have a social, you can get consumer credit. The minute you establish that EIN number, your business can start obtaining credit. So the key is that you've got to make sure first you're set up credibly. You've got to make sure that you know, have a legitimate business address, phone number, fax number, website, email address. You know, even if you use a virtual phone or a virtual address instead of your home address and mobile phone, those things work as well. But after you make sure that you're set up credibly, then the first step of building business credit is just to go to companies that will give you credit when you have none, and that report to the business credit reporting agencies. So Uline, Quill, Gimplers, these are just some of many sources that will do those two things. Give you credit when you have none, report to the business credit reporting agency, and once you get credit with these companies, you use the credit you paid as agreed, that's what establishes your business credit profile and score.
So when you say get business credit, are you talking about getting actual money or building up sort of like your business reputation, which is not, you know, saying business credit, I think, is another way to also say building up sort of your business reputation so that when you actually do need money, you have the credit history to then show it, or is it a combination of those two?
Well, it's really a combination of the two, because just it's really fundamentally the same as consumer credit. I mean, if you think about it, your consumer credit really does depict your reputation. You know, it's how you pay, it's how other, you know, how other credit issuers see you and what your history is with them. And it's also your key to getting capital, your key to getting credit, your key to getting financing. So really, business credit's not much different. I mean, you use consumer credit to get credit cards and mortgages and auto vehicles. You do the exact same thing with business credit. You know, business credit's used to obtain, you know, vendor credit, store credit cards, and Visa and MasterCard credit cards you can use anywhere. It's also used for equipment leasing and equipment financing and vehicle leasing. All these type of things you can do for your business and not as an individual. And the difference is that you separate the liability. So when you obtain all of these things in your business name, you're not personally liable in most of those cases. Your business is liable. So if you ever were to default, then you're not on the hook. Your actual business is on the hook. But as you mentioned, that's not the reason that you really want to do it. Most business owners don't think they'll fail, so they don't care about the liability aspect. But the reality is that it is your reputation. Because unlike in the consumer world, where I can't just pull your credit report, you know, like if you upset me and I'm like, I want to see what that guy is doing out there and go get his report, I can't do that. Only certain people that have licenses to do so can do so, like mortgage brokers or bankers, etc. But in the business space, anybody can see your report. I can go right now. I have relationships with multiple credit providers where I pay very little money to get access to reports. I can pull your business credit report. It will tell me who you've paid, how you've paid. It'll tell me how many employees you have. It will tell me your revenue. It will tell me your profits. It will tell me lawsuits, public records, judgments, tax liens. All of that is readily available to anybody that wants it. So part of it is that reputation aspect that anybody can pull your reports. And part of it is that you want to get credit, you want to get loans, mortgages, all those type of things without the liability.
So what are some of the opportunities outside of a bank? I mean, I know there's different spheres. I mean, there's a whole lot of online options now. I mean, you've got Cabbage. I'm sure you're familiar with Cabbage.com. And you had mentioned Uline and some others that I'm not actually that familiar with. So I'm curious about what are those options?
In my world, I kind of separate these two things. And I'm not saying that's the appropriate way to do it, but how we educate is we kind of teach two different aspects. There's business financing, which has to do with loans and credit lines. And that's your Cabbage cash advance type financing and SBA loans from your bank and those type of things. Then there's corporate credit. There's the business credit, the corporate credit, the building of a credit profile, the building of a credit score for the EIN, the using that credit profile and score to obtain actual credit, i.e. credit cards. So for example, Uline and Quill are stores. They're stores. So Uline sells shipping supplies. Quill sells office supplies. So Quill's not much different than Staples. They sell pretty much the same thing as Staples. The only difference is that Quill will give you credit when you have none. They'll give you $500 or $1,000 line of credit with their store to buy stuff, and they report that credit to the business credit reporting agencies. So,
but what are they basing that? What are they basing that off of? I mean, are they getting a personal guarantee to insure it? Or are they checking your what's it called? It just slipped my mind. Basically, not your credit score, but your what's the other score that they look at?
There's several business credit scores, your business credit profile. The beautiful thing about the sources I'm mentioning, Reliable, Uline, Quill, there's a company called Monopolize Your Marketplace. The beautiful thing about these, and I've selected them for a reason, are these are what are called starter vendors. So these are vendors that will give you, because look, if you want to buy office supplies, you'd probably rather go to Staples or Office Depot than Quill. Why would you go to Quill? Well, Quill, the difference is if you go to Staples right now to get credit, they're probably not going to give you credit unless you provide your social. If you have no credit established and you only gave them your EIN, they would deny you any credit. But I can go to Uline to buy office supplies, only give them my EIN. They're going to initially look to make sure I have an EIN and I'm listed in 411. And if I meet that simple requirements, and again, some of those other things I said, the application of the business makes me look credible. I'm not using a mobile phone and a home address and those type of things, which they look at as not so credible.
Yeah.
So if I have the persona of credibility on the application, I'm listed with 411, have an EIN, I can leave the social security number blank on the application. Big thing to know. We're conditioned again that when there's a social on an application for credit, we fill it out. We never would realize that we cannot fill it out and still get approved. But with these starter vendors, you could do just that. You leave the social blank. You force them to pull your EIN credit. They don't see a credit profile and score, but they see the 411 listing. They see that you're set up credible. They'll give you a small credit line. Now, again, nothing to celebrate. But what's brilliant about this is they report those accounts to Dun & Bradstreet, Experian, and Equifax. Commercial. So what happens is they're reporting it to the business credit reporting agencies. And once you have about a handful of these accounts reporting, then the Staples, then the Best Buy, the Amazon, the Dell, the major retailers you and I are both familiar with will start giving you store credit with your social off the app based strictly on that business credit profile and score that you've established using those vendor accounts.
That's awesome. That's so interesting. So is the interest rate just really high, or what's the catch on this?
There's really no catch. I mean, per SBA, there's two things you want to know. One is that, yes, the interest rates on anything to do with business is a little higher than consumer, not substantially higher. But what is substantially higher is your limits. Limits on business credit accounts per SBA are 10 to 100 times higher than consumer credit, which if you think about it, makes a ton of sense. Because when you talk about credit, you can't ignore what's called capacity. And as an individual, you don't have the same appetite or need for the same capacity as business. Like, you'll never need $10,000 of Dell on a consumer credit card, because you're not going to buy like 10 home computers at the same time ever, right? But to buy 10 business computers is very, very common. So what happens is the capacity on these kind of store accounts is substantially higher than you'd ever find in the consumer world. So let me give you an example. It's very common for Apple to give you a $6,000 to $7,000 credit card, or Dell to give you a $10,000 credit card 60 days into building your business credit. You go from nothing to you get some starter accounts, they report, you have a profile and score, and you're getting $5,000, $10,000 limit store cards, which in the consumer world would take you years and years and years to ever get to that level.
Really? That's fascinating. So you go and work with businesses on how to basically take advantage of this.
Absolutely. Because why wouldn't you? You know, the problem is that when you look at how most people fund businesses and fund franchises and fund their startup and go into expansion, then what they do is they use their personal credit. The problem is that personal credit was never designed to fund a business. So for example, a 30-year FICO score is based on something called utilization, which means if you utilize or have a balance higher than 30% of your credit limit, you are damaging your score. Now, the math of FICO is that 35% of your score's payment history, 30% utilization. So by owing more than 30% of your limit, you literally mathematically damage your scores almost as much as you pay your bills late. It's a big deal. So when you use your personal money to try to fund your business, you overutilize your accounts, you plummet your consumer scores, your ability to get mortgages, car loans, all those things is dampened, not to mention that you pay more on those things, and your ability to get real business loans is hurt as well. Now, when you do it the right way, then you use business credit to fund the business, then you could max out those accounts. Your consumer score wouldn't even drop a point because none of that stuff reports on the consumer credit report, and then you've got higher capacity. You can use the actual credit. You don't damage yourself on the personal side, and again, the best part is you don't have any personal liability, which you shouldn't for things you're doing in your business.
Wow, that's really interesting. So, and that was, by the way, what I was thinking of, that I couldn't come up with the word, the FICO score. That's what it was. I did about, I don't want to say maybe a year ago, I got a line of credit for my business in part because I didn't need one, you know. So it's like, okay, I don't need one. So now's the time to now's the time to get one, because, you know, as I said, whenever you know, you always got a plan for worst case scenario. And I went through various different banks, just like you said, was the wrong place to go. But, you know, like Huntington is a bank, and they've got this small business package, and, you know, for loans of like $250,000 or less, their application was like a paragraph, and it was unbelievable. Every other bank, they wanted the history of histories, and, you know, they treat, you know, a $100,000 line of credit as though it's like a $50 million line. And even the banks would tell me that. They're like, even my bank that I've got, you know, a bunch of different accounts in and all sorts of stuff, they're like, hey, sorry, this is just how we do it. And I said, well, I mean, that's why I'm not going with you on this. But Huntington, they basically checked your FICO score. You had to put that you had a pulse, and you had to put down a couple of other numbers. Literally, you know, I was approved in about 10 seconds, and it was fascinating to me, and I thought, wow, they're really going to be disrupting at least this industry from the banking perspective. But what you're talking about is just so much more interesting, because I don't think very many people distinguish between the two. First of all, I think people are used to having to sign for things and personally guarantee them, right, through their business, and if up to a certain point. But then second, I don't think people really parse it out this way. And so I think it's really, really important knowledge that you can actually, from the get-go, grow your business credit, not go into the personal debt, which of course people don't want to do and shouldn't do, but still have the benefit of developing your credit over time, and not have the downside of what happens on the personal side of things, like you said, if you carry too high balances or so forth. So tell me the process, because there might be folks out there that want to reach out to you. How do you work with people? Do you work one-on-one? Do you do group coaching? Do you just do speaking?
Well, there's several things, and I want to dive a little bit deeper into what you just mentioned, because you should look at your business credit reports. You should go to Dun & Bradstreet, Equifax, and Experian, and what you may find is that you have business credit that you didn't even know about that's reported. And that could be what gives you the score to have made the Huntington approval happen. So because what happens is when you go to apply for a bank loan, even a Cabbage Cash advance, as you mentioned, they pull your business credit. We see denials for cash advances. We see denials for $10,000 credit cards from $3 and $4 million revenue businesses, with the reason for denial being business credit. And the reason that you kind of alluded to is because big banks don't lend their own money anymore. They don't do that. Well, they lend their own money, but what they do is they only lend money that's insured by SBA, because you can't lose. SBA takes a hit on 90% of what's lent. They give you $100,000, you default, then they get 90,000 of the 100 back from SBA. They're out $10,000. They can't lose. So what happens is, it's not the bank's requirements you're looking at. It's SBA's. And you can go to search SBA loan requirements, and you'll see that exact same list on their website. Here's all the items you need for approval. Those are the items that your bank has been telling you you need. They get them from you. They make sure they check out. They go to SBA. But even SBA loans under $350,000 are now required that they pull a FICO SBSS score, which is the FICO Small Business Score. And the FICO Small Business Score is led by business credit, which means that even if you have an 850 consumer credit score, perfect, you still wouldn't have a FICO SBSS high enough to get an SBA loan. You have to have business credit established to even qualify for those kind of loans nowadays. But like you said, the beauty of it is to get automation, to get these computers to automatically approve you. And if you want to know how to do that, well, then when it comes to banking, there's three ways you do it. There's consumer credit, like you addressed your FICO. You need to build your business credit to get good score and profile there. And I'll tell you, answer your question, tell you exactly how to do that. The third factor is what's called a bank rating. Your bank has its own credit score, all banks do, that they use to judge your risk. And it has to do with things like how much money you have in your bank account. If you keep over $10,000 in your bank account on average, then that gives you what's called a low 5 score, and a low 5 is lendable. So they look at these three factors to determine whether you can get approved or not, which is one more reason business credit's important. But when it comes to the steps, I've really outlined most of what you need to know. You know, it comes down to making sure that your business is set up credible, getting those kind of starter accounts, which I already listed many, giving them 60 days to report. Once you have what's called 5 payment experiences, which is the reporting of accounts on the bureau's counting, adding up to 5 times. So an example is, let's say Uline reports to Dun & Bradstreet and Experian. That counts as 2 payment experiences. So when you have 5 payment experiences, then you'll have a profile, then you'll have a score. Beautiful thing about business credit, all it takes to get a good score is you pay the bill as agreed. That's it. So FICO has all these different aspects that tie into your score. Things like length of credit history, which makes it hard to get a good score early in your starting out credit. Business credit is primarily based on how you pay. So as long as you follow the steps, get that kind of credit, pay your bill, you immediately have a good score. Then 60 days in, you're off to the races. You could start going to some starter revolving sources like Best Buy, like Amazon, like Dell, Apple, even Walmart are great places to start getting real revolving store credit. And when you have a total of 10 payment experiences, then you can move into fleet cards, Visa cards, MasterCards. And really, beyond that, it's just building a credit profile like you would normally. Just remember to leave your social off the application, or they'll pull your personal credit, base the decision on that, and also give you a personal guarantee. And as long as you follow those steps, you could build business credit. Now, as of what we do and how to do it, you can go to YouTube and search business credit. We'll be the first ones that come up. We have all kinds of free information teaching people how to do it. Our main website, which is creditsuite.com, that's creditsuite, S-U-I-T-E.com. They can read about our products and services too, where we've got the software and the advisor team, and where we do a real one-on-one to help people through the entire process.
So I'm curious. So you were saying set up your business the right way. So there might be folks out there who, you know, there's a lot of franchise businesses that are home-based franchises nowadays. You know, you don't have to actually have an office. When they're setting up their business, do you then recommend, instead of using your home address, because you got to use some address, to get a PO box? I mean, is that more credible from a business credit perspective?
This is my advice. When you look at an application, you have to look at every single line item and think, why are they asking me this question? Now, this drives my wife absolutely crazy because when we sit down to fill out an application, I'll sit there for 5 minutes looking at the name box going, I wonder why they're asking me this question. And she's like, it's your name. Why would you hesitate here? But seriously, I mean, that is exactly how I scrutinize an application, because every line item on the application, they're looking at and asking for a particular reason. So you cannot use a mobile phone. You get a $15 a month Ring Central phone. It's fine. It's cheap to do. Instead of using a home address, you use what's called a virtual address. These are available from companies like Regis, where you can have an address in a high-rise building in Tampa, Florida, or Dallas, Texas, but all you're really doing is renting the address without paying for the rent of the physical location. And this way, when they look, they see that you're in a building in a high-rise building in Dallas, Texas, and it makes you look more credible. Now, keep in mind, it's not individuals that are scrutinizing this typically. It's computers. So what happens is that it's kind of like a checklist that a computer will go through. Are you listed with 411? Yes. Can I find your business online? Yes. Are you using a business phone number? Yes. Do you have a website and a fax number? Yes, yes. Do you have a physical business address? No. Do you have a home address? Yes. Well, then that's not going to immediately disqualify you, but there are some sources, especially in the beginning stages of building business credit, where you don't want that to happen, where you want to have that credibility. Now, not to jump topics, but I got to go back like 10 or 12 questions because you'd asked about Cabbage and I kind of said, look, I separate the two. I look at business financing and I look at business credit. But it's also important to know that, you know, we deal with all different types of business financing. And what I'll tell you is that lenders are looking for the same thing. So this isn't just setting up your business credibly so you could get business credit. If you ever want to get a loan or a lease or those type of things, the lenders of any sort, alternative or conventional banks, are looking at these exact same type of things. And there's a whole other world there. And I don't know if we have time to jump into it, but there is a whole other world of tons of different financing that your listeners can get to start or expand a franchise that's just not readily available, that a lot of people don't even know about, that's not coming from these conventional banks.
Well, jump into it quickly. I know we got a few more minutes here, but just try to use a little bit more energy, Ty, because you don't have enough energy that you're bringing to the table.
It's good. It's a real blessing to do something you're passionate about.
I love it. I love it.
All right, I get the opportunity to work with entrepreneurs and then also help them with money, which are two of my favorite things.
So dive into this because I think it's important, because I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who, if you're first hearing about this, you may be skeptical. I'm sitting here trying to wrap my brain around all this going, wow, I didn't know some of this stuff. Some of it I knew, but I'm saying, okay, tell me as you get into the financing side, what that looks like, whether it's, you know, Cabbage or some of these other lenders. It obviously sounds like through your credit suite, you guys have a whole number of options, but what are some of the pay downs like, the interest rates, all sorts of, I mean, what are some of the detail stuff that people would probably want to know?
But here's how the financing works. You know, we've come from a world where conventional banks, as you mentioned, list all these things you need to qualify for SBA loans. There's a reason for that. They want to see all the information about you and your company to find the weakness. Then they use that weakness to say, this is where our exposure is, and typically deny you. And it's not a mean thing. They're just looking for where their exposure is. And that's usually the reason they don't want to lend you money. So what's happened is all these hedge funds and all these alternative lenders and investors have now poured into the scene and said, wait a second, you're leaving all these good borrowers out there. And what we're going to do is we're going to develop loan programs that aren't based on looking at the entire business to find the weakness, but the exact opposite. We're only going to lend off one individual strength. So what your listeners need to know is to get money in the business world, there's one of three things you need to have. You need to have cash flow, good credit, or collateral. I call it the three C's. If you have one of those three, there are sources out there that will typically want to lend you money. So for example, you mentioned Cabbage. Well, Cabbage is a great source to get money. What they're focused on is cash flow. So if you have, for example, cash flow or good credit, Kabbage has programs that will lend you either unsecured financing completely based on your personal credit, or a lot of these solutions like OnDeck, for example, will lend you money strictly based on the fact that you have cash flow. Or if you have inventory or equipment or purchase orders or account receivables or a book of business as an insurance agent or all these different assets that could be used, then there are lenders that will want to lend you money based on that collateral. Now, when it comes to rates and terms, obviously unsecured stuff is more expensive because there's no collateral. The cheapest money you'll ever get is when you provide collateral. Your inventory financing, your AR financing, that stuff is fairly cheap. In a lot of cases, you can get, if you have a 401k or stocks, any of those assets, in a lot of cases, you can borrow against with as little as 5% rate or lower. Better than you'll even get on an SBA. Then you talk about cash flow financing. This is cash advances. You know, they're the same as a personal cash advance using your paycheck. You show them your bank statements. You show them you have consistent revenue. They lend you money. It's so fast. It's so easy. 72 hours, you're funded. Ridiculously expensive money. I mean, you could pay 8, 10, 12% on the really low end, something you'll rarely ever see. But in most cases, you're paying 25 to 45% on that money you're borrowing. So there's a price to pay. It's fast, easy money. Qualifications are simple. You don't need collateral, 500 credit score. You're good, but you'll pay a lot for that kind of money. Then there's unsecured financing, which looks at your personal credit, where those are usually 0% business credit cards you can get, 30, 50, 100, 150,000 in funding you can get, even as a startup, just because you have good personal credit. And those are normal credit card rates. So you're going to pay usually 12 to 25% rates on that once that 6 to 18 month 0% APR period expires. Then there's the sweet spot. The sweet spot is good credit, 700 scores and higher, and tax returns for 2 years that show revenue increasing from year to year and some kind of net profit. You know, we all try to write everything off so we have no profit because we don't want to pay the taxes. But in the business world, the best financing you'll get, the 3, 4, 5 year loan terms and longer, the 5, 8, 10, 12% interest rate money, comes down to having good consumer credit. And it also comes down to you being able to show tax returns claiming some kind of profit. You know, we just lent $200,000 to a gentleman at 12%. And he had $18,000 in profit on his tax returns. But because he had good credit and profits and his revenue increased from year to year, it opened up that sweet spot where you can get longer terms and lower cost money.
Wow, that's a mouthful. There's a lot of information there. Should somebody, your website is creditsuite.com. Is that the best place to go check out some of this information?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a great free guide that maps out in detail the steps to build business credit. And it's how to build credit for your EIN that's not linked to your SSN. And it's on our main website, creditsuite.com/EIN. And I'll make sure you have those links to put on your show notes page as well. So they can go right there, get all kinds of information, whether you use us or you don't. You'll at least get a lot of information on different kind of funding programs that are out there for you, qualifications, videos that'll walk you through the specifics, a lot of information that's needed to, you know, to get started in building corporate credit, building business credit.
Now, are you the founder of Credit Suite?
Yes, I am. I'm actually the founder and CEO, and I obviously could never do what I do without having a pretty cool, awesome, good-sized team.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, listen, Ty, you definitely bring energy and enthusiasm, and this is probably one of the most unique episodes because this is just something a little bit different, and it's probably something that many people aren't familiar with. And so I encourage people to go to the website and check it out and see if it's a good solution for you. And I thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And if I could ever do anything for you, anything for your listeners, even, you know, to give you or them or anybody an idea of even what kind of money they can qualify for, any of those type of things, feel free to reach out. I always want to do my part. I believe that small businesses are what fuel our economy. So anything I can do to put capital in a small business owner's hands, I'll do. So let me know.
Now, is the best way to reach you through the website, or do you want to give out an email, or?
Yeah, they can go right to creditsuite.com or info@creditsuite.com. I intercept those emails as well as those go to our team. Either way.
All right, Ty. Well, hey, thanks so much. And I really appreciate you coming on.
Josh, thanks for having me. I had a blast. Yep.
Hopefully this was helpful for you today. If you are in the market for a franchise, I would highly encourage you to check out my free ebook, which is What to Know Before You Buy a Franchise. You can head over to my website at indyfranchiselaw.com and download it there for free. And let me know what you think. If you're enjoying this podcast, if you're enjoying the value that you're getting from this podcast, I'd also invite you to go to iTunes and provide me with a rating and review. It always helps for visibility on the podcast. So thank you so much for your support, and hope this episode was helpful to you.
Thanks for being with us today on the Franchise Euphoria podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to go to iTunes and provide a review. Also, please remember that although Josh Brown is a licensed and practicing attorney, nothing contained in this podcast should be construed as legal advice, because it is not. The information contained in this podcast is general and educational in nature, and none of it should be relied upon as legal advice. That being said, if you have questions for Josh and would like to contact him, please email him at josh@franchiseeuphoria.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you tune in to our next weekly episode.